Everyone this evening, thank you for being here. I'd like to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity to cover Steve while he's away this evening. But I do thank everyone for being here tonight. Hopefully the lesson will be beneficial to all of us as we study through. As you can see, we'll be talking about serving others tonight. I'm hopeful that this lesson comes across in a positive manner. I don't want anybody to be, thinking that you're being singled out or you're not doing good enough or any of that sort of thing. Just hoping this motivates everybody to think about what service is and what we all can do to do a better job. My intention tonight is to encourage those who are doing well in this regard already, and I have personal knowledge of a lot of what's going on with a lot of people behind the scenes. And you know, it makes me think of Galatians 6 and verse 9. The encouragement to you would be, you know, keep doing that, not growing weary in the work that you're already doing and doing all that good work. And then also, for those that may be struggling with serving as you ought right now, maybe I'm just trying to encourage you and using some of the things that Jesus said and some of the things that the apostles have told us that may be helpful to you to do a better job with that in the future, because we all probably can do better than what we're doing. But the main intent is, you know, being workers for the Lord. I also wanted to say, because sometimes I think, especially with those that don't preach a lot, sometimes, you know, we may leave something out or something may come across the wrong way. And I wanted to say specifically for like elderly people, let's say you've been serving in the Lord's church for 40, 50, 60 years or more. You know, all of us have different abilities, and over time you may not be able to do everything that you used to be able to do. And so I definitely wanted to make sure that I said to all those that may be, you know, longtime workers in the Lord's church, that you are a great benefit to us here at Eastside with your knowledge, your experience, and those things that you still can do or that you still have the energy or the mobility to do. So I'm hoping that when I'm going over certain slides that you're not thinking, well, you know, he's saying that, you know, I ought to be doing more and, you know, I can't really get out or do anything or do that much anymore. But especially the elderly people that are here in this congregation, lifetime workers, lifetime examples of how to live a Christian life, we do appreciate you. And also those that may be new to the Lord's church, let's say you've been recently baptized, or maybe you're not of driving age yet, you're still a young person, and you can't do what other people can do. Part of this encouragement is for look for those opportunities of what you can do in these different topics that we're talking about, but don't get frustrated that you may not be able to drive or go somewhere on your own. Maybe you're going with parents, or maybe you're going with other people to do these things, but you know, there's work that we all can do together. So let's study these different things with that mindset. If this works, we'll be rolling. Okay. Yay. Okay. If you just follow with me, I tried to put all the verses that I'm going to be referencing in the lesson tonight. So for the most part, you ought to be able to look up at the PowerPoint and see the points. And I want you to kind of be active in the lesson and thinking about, you know, because I may not be bringing up every point related to a subject, but you can be thinking about it. And that way, while you're meditating on these different topics, you know, maybe it can make all of us a little bit better if we just think about different areas. But Christians are called to be servants. You know, Jesus' disciples, as we, the people that go here to Eastside, know we've been studying in this quarter, there was a lot of debate that the disciples were having, that Jesus heard them debating about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom and all that right there. And let's pay attention to the words of Jesus when he's trying to teach them who's going to be great in the kingdom. You know, in Matthew 23:11 is one example where he says, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. So he's already trying to do through his teaching, you know, this is about servitude. This isn't about haughtiness and putting yourself on a pedestal. It's about serving other people. And then he also says, as recorded in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So those two words that we can focus on that really hit the whole picture tonight, humility and service. Those two things, that's what we're called to be. And then we have, again, those that have been studying here at Eastside this past quarter, I won't spend much time on this, but Jesus using himself as an example, showing his disciples, you know, what I'm talking about, you know, showing them exactly what he's talking about, the attitude that he's talking about. You have in John chapter 13 where he washes his disciples' feet, trying to show them what being a servant is. Around verse 15, let's jump down to there in that reading in John 13. Jesus speaking says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So not only did he just wash their feet and he's trying to teach them by this example, he's kind of telling them just in general, you're called to be servants. You're called to be workers. This is what you're supposed to do. And we'll hit words that are very correlated to this throughout the lesson tonight. Brotherly love and loving one another and service. But he showed them by example, and then that active word in there that you have to do them. Okay, now let's talk about the servant's attitude. Kind of what is the Christian's attitude, or what should the Christian's attitude be about service? It's a mindset that we adopt. We got to start with that. We got to think about it so then we can do the action. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." So think about where he's going with this right here. You know, it's all about being a servant, and it's all about being humble. And if I want to win souls, then this is how I'm going to do it. It's going to be how I approach people and what I'm going to do. It's not going to be about me. It's going to be about others. It's also without consideration of repayment. Jesus in Luke chapter 6 is recorded as saying in verses 34 and 35, "If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." So kind of the things right that we need to be thinking about right here is we should never be thinking, I'll do this for this person, and that way this person will do something for me later. That's not the attitude for a Christian. A proper Christian attitude is I'm going to do something to help somebody else so that I can help somebody else. Also in Luke 17:10, Jesus said, "So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done what was our duty to do." So why be braggadocious about something that is just merely doing what Jesus said? Here's who I want you to be. Here's the type of person I want you to be. Here's what I want you to be involved in. Why should we be out showing, see, look at all this stuff that I've done? It's really doing the work of Jesus. So we just need to look at ourselves as unprofitable. We're just doing what we were told to do by the Lord. A servant's attitude is also unselfish and considerate. These next two points are pretty closely related. Paul in the book of Philippians, verse 2 and 3, says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." We have to be unselfish. We have to be totally selfless to make God happy with the type of servant that we are. And also, we need to put others first. Paul, again, in the book of Romans, chapter 12 says in verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And then over in Ephesians chapter 5, same thought right now, submitting to one another. That's not a popular word with people today. If you get in discussions and people talk about submission, a lot of times that's being said as far as the wife to the husband. People don't like that word. It makes them angry, a lot of people. But here we have where the Apostle Paul's actually telling us we all ought to submit to one another. It's just it's the heart of a true Christian. Somebody that's really trying to serve God is going to be submissive in heart to others, you know, yielding to others, letting others go first, doing things that others need to help them, and not, again, being selfless. Okay, let's move on to talking about a few specific examples. We'll spend most of the rest of our time on two different pretty closely topics. The first one we're going to talk about is serving in the local church. So again, we're talking about being here at Eastside or wherever you may worship at normally, your local congregation that you're a part of. You know, what sort of service should I be doing? What sort of preparation can I be doing? What am I supposed to be doing to make the Lord happy with what I'm doing in the local church? And then we'll finish up by looking at a few examples of specific service to other people. So let's look at, you know, some of the points on what service requires of us to be a good servant in the local church. First of all, it requires faithful attendance and involvement. Passage we read quite a bit from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. We know it well, but we need to focus on it. The Hebrew writer says, starting in verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So in this way right here, I guess while we're talking about this specific topic, you know, if you're not here, how can you do what the writer is encouraging us to do, which is exhorting one another. How can you exhort one another if you're not here to exhort one another? So part of it's being here, and the other part of it is being involved, engaged, focused, you know, honoring the Lord, doing those things right here. But you got to be here, you know, to have an effect on others. It also, another example here in Philippians verse 4 of chapter 2, Paul says, let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So kind of what I was saying on that the slide before, if we're not here, you obviously can't affect on your neighbor that would be sitting on the pew beside you, because there are a lot of people out there that think, I can worship the Lord on my own. I don't need to be part of a local church. I don't need to be around other people and stuff. But to be a servant and to be a faithful servant to the Lord requires attendance with other people. It's not about me and only me and me getting to heaven and me, you know, thinking nothing about self. It's about who can I help get there also? Who can I help do all those things that's going to uplift them so that they obey the Lord so that they can get to heaven too? So it's this thing where we have to be here to have that effect on others. Also, it's about the development and use of our abilities and stuff. And there's a lot of passages about abilities. I'll reference some and obviously not read very many of them. But, you know, if we want to grow, I guess some of the things hit my mind is where Paul talks about moving on from milk and to solid food spiritually here. It's kind of those things right there. Part of what we need to do as Christians is develop our abilities so that we grow closer to the Lord, where we have that need and yearning to serve the Lord and be with the Lord. And again, the effect is on other people. What can I do with my abilities so that I can help others get to heaven as well? So Paul in the book of Romans verse 14 of chapter 15 says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are all also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. So do you see the growth already? Even before I move on from this slide, I kind of made that bold in there so you would see it. If you never grow, you couldn't do what the Apostle Paul's talking about right here. But if you are somebody that is willing to put the work in to increase your knowledge, then you can be somebody that goes on and keeps the church pure by being able to admonish those that are bringing false teaching into the church. So again, we increase our knowledge through study, and through that knowledge, we grow in the Lord to where we can refute false teaching. That's one way that we can develop our abilities in a way that's going to help others get to heaven. Because there's a lot of division that has happened over false teaching that creeps in. We got to be able to recognize it and be able to, in the right way, you know, pull that person off to the side and be like, this isn't what the Bible is teaching. Let's study it together, and let's come to unity on this and what God wants us to do. So again, another verse here in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Paul says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we need to use the abilities that God has given us, and we need to increase them. We need to do what, I referenced here that in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents right there. We don't need to be the person that's just afraid to grow, so you hide it. You don't really want to get out there and increase it, because there is so much to be done. You know, I could call out so many different examples of what so many people do here. There's so many opportunities for people to serve, whether it's leadership roles in a worship service like we're having this evening, whether it's preaching or leading singing or some of those things, but down to when we meet together and we have Bible classes and stuff, the importance of everybody, having women that are leading Bible studies there and teaching children the way that they should go, leading them in the right path. There's so many opportunities for us to do. Let's make sure we're not burying our talent, and that we get out there and start increasing, so that as we get older, we can have the effect on other people. Galatians 5 and 13, Paul says here, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So as we move on to, I'm going to get into some things that you would normally, that probably that popped in your mind at first about serving other people. And this is going to kind of take our minds in that direction right there. All the many different opportunities we have here locally and around the world that we can have effect on others. So through love, serve one another. And then also in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. I think Jonathan read this morning. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So let's keep these last two verses in the back of our minds when we progress here on a few topics of how we can serve other people. So one way that we can serve others, specifically serving brethren in need, let's look in the first book of John there in chapter 3 and be thinking about this right here, because this is probably what comes to most people's mind when we talk about serving others. In verse 17, he says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So let's let those words, you know, stare at the screen, stare at those words, let them penetrate your heart and think about them for a second. You know, it's a question that needs asked, but, you know, it kind of answers itself right there. So we do have, you know, we're in a country where we, you know, have a lot of things, and we're blessed greatly with high-paying jobs, or higher-paying jobs, at least, than other countries. We have a lot more than a lot of other people have. We need to make sure that we're thinking about others. We need to take care of our spiritual family in this way. We need to be looking at opportunities. Do we know people here that, you know, have need of food, have need of clothing, have need of shelter? Those necessities of life, you know, and hopefully that's not true here, but, you know, I guess what I'm getting at here, there's different people that know others better than we may know them. I may know people in my family better than you know them, so I may have some inside information that you don't have. But this is an example of where we need people that are in the know, that somebody's struggling, that information is shared so that we can help. Because to help others, we have to help, but they have to receive it, right? I mean, it's a two-way street. If somebody's not willing to accept the help, you're not going to be able to help them. But we have to look for these opportunities to serve brethren in need, whether it be necessities of life. And I put other in service because that covers a whole multitude of different things where sometimes people may be elderly and can't do what they used to could do, and they need some help around their house in whatever way that may be. If you don't ask, you're not going to know. Or if people's in the know and they don't share that because maybe the person sharing it doesn't have the ability to help either. But if they'll let somebody else know, then other people can, you know, take care of that need and help our brothers and sisters in Christ with whatever that need is. So I really like the way that this verse is written because it's very, it pricks you to the heart when you read it, the way that it's read there. And we got to really stop and slow down sometimes and think, do we have a brother that is needy? When we do have the world's goods and we're greatly blessed, so we need to share in those things. And along that same thought, I guess, but growing it a little bit, you know, we can pull our resources to accomplish great works here and around the world, and we do. This is something when I was working on this lesson, this is why I kind of spent a little time in the introduction. You know, I definitely don't want anybody at Eastside to be offended when I'm talking about service to others, when, at least in my knowledge of the places where I've attended over the last 40 years, I've never been around so many people that do so many things in a group. So I am very thankful of that. And, you know, I say thank you to those for all the great work that you do. But let's think about those opportunities that we can do to help other people like we're doing. And so I'll finish a few more thoughts on this in a second, but in 2 Corinthians 9, where Paul is talking, we read this a lot concerning the collection, and I think it definitely can apply there, but just our general attitude around giving. Paul says, starting verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." So again, I have a thankful heart for this group. And again, when I'm looking at a group that has 250 people, you know, you start talking about and you have inside information. I know of a lot of people that do so much, like do everything they can to do everything. So this is really an encouragement. It's an acknowledgement for the work that's being done, for the support of preachers throughout the world from Eastside. I've never been involved with a congregation that is so involved with trying to spread the gospel throughout the world as it is here. So I'm very thankful for that and what we do out of the weekly collection. But the bullet at the bottom is what I want to I guess, draw a little bit of attention and have you think about, because this is us on an individual basis. Also, I have inside information, and it's shared a lot of Steve's lessons that he gives a lot. When he talks about, like, his recent trip to Zimbabwe, he talks about the amount of donations that he's given from personal people that have nothing to do with the collection, where people give him money and please help other people with this. And so I'm thankful to be around a group of people that does so much for so many people and loves people in that way. So, you know, I guess the encouragement, kind of like going back to Galatians 6 and verse 9, let's not grow weary in that, and let's keep doing good, and let's keep looking for those opportunities where we can. And let me say, for those that don't have much money that are part of this group too, I wanted to say something there. You know, sometimes we have different monetary blessings at different points in our life. You know, I don't want people to feel beat up when you can't give to help other people because you're struggling to put food on your table. So that this isn't to make somebody feel guilty that I ought to be given to others when you're struggling that way. But, you know, be looking for these opportunities when you can to help other people. And it doesn't always have to be monetary. It could be in the form of your time that you give for other people. So, again, very thankful for this group, very thankful for the example that you all are to me, but let's keep doing good. Let's do everything that we can to help those here and help those that we can of brethren that are throughout the world, like we're already doing in so many different ways. Another topic, this one hits close to home with a lot of us in here, because we have family members who've fallen away, or that may be struggling, and it feels like they're tending towards falling away. This is a heart-wrenching subject right here. But at the same time, you know, I talked with my own daughter when she was just a teenager. You know, my oldest, EA, we had a discussion one time, and I told her when we were having this spiritual discussion about falling away, and I'm like, you know, if I was falling away and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be, you got to always never put your faith in another man. Never put your faith in a preacher or another member, that if somebody else falls away, that brings you down. But get them back. I'm like, just like I told her, I said, but the other way, if you are falling away, you know, it's going to change our relationship in a very sad way. But at the same time, I'll be latched around your ankles and doing everything I can to turn you around. So as we have these struggles, because the bigger our families are sometimes, I'm sure this probably touches almost everybody that's in here in some way, with family or extended family or friends, where you go through this heart-wrenching thing. But we have a long-suffering God, and as long as the world stands, just know there's always opportunity to turn that person around, even when it seems hopeless. Galatians 6 and verse 1, Paul says here, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." And then also over in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, he says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Just when I was studying this again and looking at this verse, it just kind of brought the thought to me, because if you saw somebody drowning, and you save them, just what a great thing that would be. Saving somebody's physical life, or saving somebody from a fire, saving somebody from any sort of thing that could take their life, you would be doing that. But we're talking about eternal life, and for, you know, forever, timeless, never ends. Our loved ones, we need to do whatever we can do while God gives us time, so that we can save that soul from death. Because that is our loved ones. Even when they're, you know, shutting the door, slamming the door in our face, you know, don't give up hope. Try the cards, try the whatever you can come up with while there's still time to save that soul from death. And there's no greater you know, all the needy and other points that we've looked at, there's no greater service to anybody in this world than getting them in a state to where they would be back with God again and not separated from him anymore, so that they can live with God in heaven forever as well. And then it's kind of getting close to the end here, serving those who need the gospel. So this isn't necessarily the brethren, although we all need the gospel too. This could be, you know, talking to those of our brethren, but it also could be talking to those that are out in the world. We had read this verse earlier, but from a different, different angle we're coming in right here, talking about trying to save those that are out in the world. You know, Paul says in that letter to the Corinthians that, though I am free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. So there's something where he's talking about here in the attitude that he's speaking with, or the way that he approaches trying to teach somebody the word so that they'll listen. And so I guess that's the encouragement to all of us tonight when we're out there thinking about trying to serve those who need the gospel, those who are in a lost condition, doing it in a way that you're going to have success. You know, don't just go in there, you know, with a hammer or whatever right there when it's not going to listen, when they're not going to listen to that most times. But I'll come back to that point in just a second. But in Jude verses 22 and 23, he says, and on some having compassion, talking about, trying to, you know, save the lost, on some having compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. So that's a little bit almost different. It's letting us know that there are more ways, as my dad would say back in the day, there's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, you got to know, you got to use discernment to say this person is going to require gentleness, or this isn't going to work. I know that this approach, that's the only way, or they're going to slam the door on me and I've lost the opportunity. But I can tell you this, that I've spoken with people in the past that told me, and I'm not talking about being rude, I'm just talking about being very forward because I knew them very well, and they told me, that is all that works on me. You're going to have to be direct. So we got to know when somebody requires directness to hear the word to save them. I think the idea there of pulling that person out of the fire, or when we have to go in with a total attitude of compassion or gentleness so that that door stays open. That's part of our job as Christians, is using that spiritual discernment of how do I approach this person so that the goal is met, which is saving their soul from death. Let's go to the next thing, which is kind of lumped into the same thing here, serving others, whether it be through comforting them in sickness and hard times, or in loss, like loss of a loved one, some great thing that's affected them. In the book of James in chapter 5, he says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. You know, when we talk about people that are sick, really sick, those that are really fighting for their lives, and we got several loved ones here that we know of that have been fighting for their lives, they're just downtrodden because just the immense amount of physical trauma they've had to go through, whether it be radiation, chemo, all the stuff that we've been talking about recently with certain ones of our loved ones having to go through amputations and all this just physical, just you know, it's awful to us as people when we love others like that, that they're having to go through this sort of thing. Let's not forget what is being said right here, which is there are spiritual leaders of this flock that should be called on to help, and as we've done many times, but to pray over those that are sick. But as is also taught to us all over the New Testament, we also need to be praying for each other all the time. We need to be daily, and just ideas that come to the mind, you know, taking those bulletins that we have people spending the time to put those out so we can see, here's updates on people that are sick or suffering right now that are our loved ones, that we can take that home and pray for them as well as praying for them publicly. But let's try to serve those who are sick. Oh, I'm right here. And then over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, Paul says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." You talk about people that are going through extreme suffering and maybe to the end of their lives, just extreme suffering that and hardship that they've gone through. What a blessing for those that are members of the church, faithful members, those that love God and has served them her whole life, when they're suffering, you know, to remind them and to read to them, you know, you're going to get to be with the Lord. Don't be downtrodden too much. We love you so much, but look at this. We're all going to get to be together one day. We're all going to get to be in heaven. So let's comfort one another with those words. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." It's that same thing. It's just showing an attitude of service. Be looking for opportunities to comfort those who are faint-hearted. There are people that have gone through extreme loss, or they're going through extreme depression, whatever those many reasons may be, just devastating distress for whatever it is. We need to find those opportunities where we can be the shoulder for somebody to cry on and to help them, making sure we're upholding them and comforting them. And, you know, the point that I have on there, it just made me think, when we don't, the amount of people that have left the church because of some devastating thing that happened in their life, and others didn't get there in time before it was too late, and they went from depression over this or that to they totally left and separated themselves from God. And that's sad, because it's hard to get somebody back that's in that. So let's try to look for the opportunities where people are going through really bad things and try to help uplift them. We made it. So that's the lesson tonight. I'm hoping that it touched your heart in the way that it should. You know, the words from Jesus and the word mostly from the Apostle Paul and the encouragement that he gives us to strive on and to find these opportunities to have an effect on others' lives. You know, start in your home. You know, you can serve in your own home, how you're serving at home and the effect you have in your own home, and then in the local church here. And then, you know, it just grows and grows, the effect that we can have. So as you can see here, this is my last slide, but when the Lord returns, you know, he wants to find us serving as described in Luke 12 that we'll finish up with reading here in a moment. He wants to find us watching. If we're watching for his return, then he's going to be seeing us serving. We know that he's coming back and he can come back in any moment, so we're going to be out serving other people, and he's going to find us doing what we're supposed to be doing. So let's finish with this reading from Luke chapter 12, 35 through 38. It doesn't have every word from those verses, but "Let your waist be girded and your lamps be burning. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants." I hope the lesson helped you all as much as it helped me studying it. Let's just meditate on these things this week. Again, the congregation here does such a good job, and I'm so blessed to be part of this local work here. But let's always strive to be doing better. Yeah, that's all the thoughts that I wanted to share. So at this time, we're going to extend the Lord's invitation. It's His invitation to you. If there's someone in the crowd tonight that is ready to begin your walk with the Lord, you're ready to confess His name as the Son of God, you're ready to be baptized and buried with Him in water for the remission of your sins, we're going to give you that opportunity tonight. And also, for those that may be in the crowd tonight that need the prayers and help, you know, let us serve you. Let us help you do whatever you're going through. But if you need to make public confession or ask for help in any way from the church this evening, we ask you also to come forward now as we stand and sing for your encouragement.